Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Oh, what a bummer. Reno didn't get to hear Al Bernstein, our good buddy who was with the ESPN Las Vegas for a long time doing a show. And, of course, legendary boxing announcer. Well, to get to his question about the O.J. chase, it wasn't his question. It was our question for him. But we'll get to that in about a half an hour. Greg Salerno's here. Finley Toyota Studios. Griffin as well. Much to get to in terms of the breakdown of what's going to happen in the NBA. We don't need to go back much with the NBA Finals and break down that game last night. But, you know, we're always looking forward, like, hey, who do we bet, right? Who's going to be the favorite the next couple of years in the NBA? And I think there's a lot of possibilities of organizations that can take down the Celtics. But, damn, they look dominant in this series. All right, Big Four time.
Battle Boy Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
Someone is always wanting to be the next Vegas, right? You got these domestic locations. Like, while I like Nashville, stop with the Nash Vegas thing. The Stark Vegas is one of the dumbest things ever.
I don't even know what that is.
Starkville, Mississippi. Stark Vegas. Because they
what?
Get all fired up for football games. Stop, okay? We are incomparable.
Yeah.
We are impregnable, whatever the Tyson was saying. Gambling's not legal.
No.
In most of the Middle East Muslim countries. What's going on here? Are they talking about doing a Vegas near Dubai?
Apparently, there's Wynn Resorts and a lot of other ones are interested, too. The Wynn Resorts has already made a $4 billion investment in Dubai. And I don't get it at all because not only is gambling illegal, premarital sex is illegal, and drinking's illegal. Yeah, it's Vegas. Like, how is that Vegas? It's the opposite of Vegas. Like,
I think all they mean is a Vegas-like gambling resort. You are going there to gamble.
But you can't drink or do anything.
Nope.
So why would you go there? If I was rich, I'd go to Vegas, not to fake Vegas. That doesn't make any sense.
364-1100 is our text line, our Finley Kia text line. Someone texted in. They said the 2000s are called the aughts. Is that accurate? Can you also help me pronounce this one? This island or islands that they're talking about. Is it Marjan? It's M-A-R-J-A-N Islands.
I'm assuming it's Marjan, but that's just the
way
I read
good.
It. That's how I read it.
Or you could be completely wrong.
I could be totally wrong,
but
it sounds
good. Did you
look
at a photo of this?
What's
like,
that?
Did you look at a photo of this? What they're building,
yeah.
The area they're building on looks really neat. These islands look really
sure.
Cool, but you're right. I wonder if
yeah.
Gambling, and this is like a big hurdle across, but you know what happens?
Yeah.
You know what? By the way, everyone out there who's like, morals! And they're like, wait, we're missing out on gambling money? We gotta get in. Let's.
Yeah, but like, if I have a beer, am I gonna get the bone saw? Like, I don't want to go there. If I, you know, it's ridiculous.
Let's talk economics.
Okay.
Do you believe anyone on the show will be flush with cash around 2028 to make a trip to go see the other Vegas, apparently, outside of Dubai? Do you think we're going to be in that situation?
I mean, we'd have to be, like, syndicated in Dubai or something.
Yes. By yeah. Oh, Mark, start working on it! Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah. I want to be sponsored by the Marjan Islands.
That's why we need to be more open-minded. Maybe we could relocate the show there for... No, we can't. We can't drink or...
Yeah,
I can't.
What I'm saying,
I can't womanize. I gotta leave.
Well, all right. But, you know, to your point, though... Vegas was against, NFL was against gambling and all these other sports were against gambling. Now, all of a sudden, it's not such a big deal. So maybe they'll see the money and be like, hey, no, you know what? We kid. You can drink. You can have sex. You can do whatever you want.
Number three.
That second part is not, I don't think that's going to happen. Hard Knocks. So we've been pumping this a lot as if we work for HBO, but I love the content. Hard Knocks is one of my favorite shows of the year. I will warn you, Greg, if you're with us, and you will be. Around for shows in August, it gets real intense in here because I start watching Hard Knocks and I see the way football teams operate and
yeah.
How they're managed and how they talk to each other. And remember your comments about how comp might be a little loose at times.
That's not exactly what I said, but okay.
It all starts to connect.
Yeah.
And then I get into a football mentality. I get crazy. I get freaking crazy. So now, I hadn't thought of some of the angles on this. AFC North. Instead of an in-season team, they're going to do in-season on a division.
Yeah.
Do you like the concept? So it's AFC North.
I like it, I guess. I mean, it gives you more teams to look at because you get kind of tired of watching, like, the same guy in the Jets try to get in the building every day or whatever, you know. So after a while, it'd be cool. I was wondering, I was going to ask you what you think would the most interesting team of those four would be, because I'm going to be honest, I think the Browns would be pretty interesting to watch. I want to see how their ownership goes, and maybe the Bengals too, because all these rumors about guys having to pay for their own Gatorade and stuff, and, you know, I want to see how that works,
like,
on
how
television.
How cheap is my
car? Yeah, I want to see it on TV.
Yep. I was going to go alt and say the Browns, but you took them. I think the Steelers are the obvious one.
Yeah.
Just because of how it plays out with Russell Wilson
right.
and Justin Fields. And I don't know, there was something weird this last week with Cam Hayward was talking about his future with the Steelers and mentioned, like, it wouldn't be the worst thing to finish his career back home in Cleveland. So now Steelers fans are like, what?
Right.
There's drama with every team.
Yeah.
And you know one of those teams is going to underachieve or have a bad injury. So they're going to be the team that you'll probably want to follow the most, because that's when it turns into a disaster. The Colts in season a couple years ago, I mean, the Colts, COVID, they went downhill quick. And it was some of the decisions made by players in the organization. So I don't know, man. I'm fired up for it. Again, it's offseason. Giants is coming up. Bears training camp is coming up. And then here's the thing, the note that we wanted to put out there. They're going to be filming this through the season. It really doesn't debut until December 3rd. So then you're going to see playoffs and maybe a run to the Super Bowl. And another thing I hadn't thought of, I guess there was complaining from the team that was featured in season that other teams were getting a competitive advantage. So they're like, well, I guess we'll do a whole division so that no one has an advantage in the division.
Yeah, and it's actually a good division too. I mean, you think it would be a crappy division. This is actually a really competitive division. So I'm actually excited about it. I think they should do this from now on, like have multiple teams on.
Number two.
Greg Salerno's in. We're going to get to a lot more NBA and what happened in the finals and what happens moving forward. You know, I hadn't thought of this angle at all. Mark Cuban really wasn't around for these finals.
Yeah, that's
like,
a
how
good.
Is a guy that big in recent NBA history? And, you know, he was on a TV show for a long time with Shark Tank and just so visible. He just wasn't. And by the way, he still owns... This is the genius of Mark Cuban. He had the Adelsons and then the son-in-law, Mark Dumont, buy into the Mavs for over $3 billion, and he still retains like 20% ownership. But I don't think he really has a title.
Yeah.
But he wasn't... You didn't see him around.
Well, he was a very Steve Ballmer-esque type of guy, you know, like all over the place, loud, in your face. Hey, you're right. I haven't heard anything from him. No controversial interviews or anything. Not saying anything about the other team. Yeah, it's pretty weird to watch.
Do you think they'll let him have... I think he was under the belief, and the media was under the belief, that he is still going to be in charge of basketball ops.
Yeah.
I mean, is he just out of the mix? Is he? I'll ask this. Has he been a draw over the years for players? Like to have a hands-on owner, and I just wonder if he can't be hands-on at all, and then what happens when you go more corporate ownership. Apparently, I had seen a press conference with Dumont, and I think Miriam Adelson showed up for a couple of games. I wonder what changes in the player's mind if they even care who the owner is. Like, I would assume people like Mark Cuban.
Yeah, I mean, he has a reputation of being a good owner. You know, the robes he gives everybody and the locker rooms are always nice and he treats everybody nice. So
the robes.
Where are the robes?
I mean, these fancy robes he gave everybody.
Yeah, man, it was cool. I saw a video about it once. But, yeah.
By the way, are you a robe guy?
No, I mean, the robes don't fit me right anymore. So, like, I'm kind of shaped like a ghost herd. You know what those... those packing little things or whatever. So, like, nothing really fits me right anymore. But, yeah, when I was thinner, I used to love a robe, you know.
I feel like the robe at its highest level of decadence is for the fat guy.
Yeah,
like,
but
it's just an opulent, like...
I'm a weird-shaped fat guy, though. Like, my butt goes out and my stomach, so it's two different directions at the same time.
You got a lot of junk in my trunk.
Yeah, so it's kind of hard, you know. It's hard for me to find things that fit. If I had a tailored robe, like Mark Cuban apparently does, then maybe if I played for the Mavs, I'd have a good robe.
Who's the biggest robe guy in sports? Like, who do you think, like, really likes to walk around in a robe? I always felt like it was I'd be a horse's ass if I was walking around home with a robe
on. I could see RIP, but I could see Bill Walton walking around in a robe.
Okay.
Kind of like the Big Lebowski. You know?
How about the biggest guy or the biggest robe person on the Lotus staff in sports?
Oh, man.
Like, who do you think? I think you have to have an ego.
Do you have to have an ego?
I don't look at it like, oh, I'm just relaxing.
Like a Tony Soprano type ego, like, you know.
Possibly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Threatening violence, but.
I could see Chapman walking around in a robe.
Yeah, you're right. And he is nicknamed Money Mags.
There you go.
Yeah. That's weird with him, isn't it?
Yeah.
He had talked about, he downgraded his car And then I was looking the other day. I'm like, oh, that's his plate. I'm like, I think he's running the hockey show. He's a big part of the station. I don't know what he makes. I'm like, isn't that car like $52,000? Like, what did he downgrade?
I don't know.
But that's the kind of guy who wears a robe.
Yeah,
and especially, you know what he probably wears? Are they? What's a? I don't. It's not a kimono. He's very big into Asian stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
his,
yeah.
I think his wife. Like, he travels there all the time. Like, what's a,
like the karate suit or whatever that you wear?
I bet you if we tweet at him, he'll definitely tweet us back. He loves talking about his connection to Southeast Asia.
Money Max.
All right, tough story.
Number one.
Well, you nailed that one. The pressure was on you there. You're like Magma. He'd wear a robe. He'd wear a Mark Cuban like robe. So we talked about Jason Tatum often in the first hour. He and Brown are the best players. Who is better? Who's more important to the organization?
Probably Tatum, I'd say. Because people don't look when they're watching the game at who's taking up the most attention. And I think Tatum takes up the most attention when he has the ball. I think Jaylen's great, too. I mean, they're very, very close. I don't think either one of them is a top five player, but they're both top 10, 15.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, very good.
You have two top 10 guys.
Right.
Tatum, 26. Brown, 27. So they're going to re-sign him. It's going to be like 5 years, $315 million. I don't care what the money is. And if the Celtics are truly committed to winning in this era, you pay the luxury tax. You keep adding. Porzingis makes a lot of money. They'll be out from under that contract in a little bit. Holiday's guaranteed pretty far out. So they got a big three, plus another guy who's considered, a top 40 player in the NBA, 50 player.
Well, a lot of times, too, these contracts don't look so big a couple years later. You know, in the NFL, it's always like, he's the highest paid safety ever. And then, like, 2 months later, some other guy is. So it's like, whatever.
I also saw the note that Jason Tatum had passed Kobe Bryant for most NBA playoff points before turning 27.
So,
in your mind, what does all of this mean in terms of a core? You were expressing a little doubt a couple minutes ago when we had Al Bernstein on talking a little NBA about, you know, if you have $600 million plus in two guys, are you too top heavy?
Well, because they're approaching this, and I don't think they have a choice, but they're approaching this as if it's a LeBron AD team or like a, you know, I don't know, whoever else in their prime was like a good great duo. They are, but it's a team. It's more of a team than other teams. The way they're built, like they're successful because they're great 1 through 6, you know? So I think that in the long run, it might make them not be able to build the same, keep it up if they have two guys making $300 million. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know if either guy's, I don't want to say worth it because they deserve their contracts, but again, like they don't have, it's not like KD and LeBron on the same team type of thing. You know what I mean? Where you could just rely on those two guys. They need complementary pieces. I don't know if they'll be able to keep that up, but like I said, I mean, these contracts go up, down, whatever. So we'll see.
They have it for at least one more year with both Porzingis and Holiday. We'll double check their contracts, but I looked at them the other day. So they're going to have a good core. The odds are out for the title next year. So we'll get to that. Want to remind you, we got a great contest going on. Summer of Fun brought to you by Planet Nissan. Every day on these shows, we give out a code word. There's a daily code word for text 364-1100, 364-1100, 702-364-1100. The code word today is travel. Travel, T-R-A-V-E-L, travel. Just send that in right now and you qualify for a chance to win. In this case, we got a weekly trip we're giving away. 4 days, 3 nights to Liverpool. It's a Beatles experience. 4 days, 3 nights, Liverpool. Code word right now, and then you're in. That's all you have to do. Text it in, 364-1100, 364-1100. Travel.
And once again, the Boston Celtics stand alone for all time. It is banner 18. The mission demanded is mission accomplished.
Wow. This is what dreams are made of.
Boston.
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 To HBO and Winning Time. Forgot about that scene.
Yeah.
The Lakers all saying F Boston and Cornbread Maxwell. It's tough. It's tough when you have only got 900 titles, but yeah, things that dreams are made of. Sean Grandy on the call as well. It was a good call. Celtics Radio Network, but still unpleasant for those of us who don't like the Celtics, which is pretty much America, and you're reminded of that when you realize they just passed the Lakers, number 18. This is Lakers territory. I'm not saying it's all Laker territory here, but a lot of L.A. transplants. Most people who grew up in Vegas are Lakers fans, but, you know, as we pointed out, in hour one, the Lakers did this. Lakers mistakes. Lakers had a championship team just a few years ago, and then Rob Pelinka and LeBron and whoever else were like, hey, you know, let's tinker. Nah, don't tinker. Don't get rid of some of the guys who made things special, and they overdid it in terms of expectations with certain players from outside the organization. And now they're looking up, and the Celtics have 18. And the Lakers screwed it up by breaking up that team. The Nets screwed this whole thing up by trading all the picks, including the picks, to get Brown and Tatum. The Sixers were actually picking in front of in 16 and 17. The Lakers, and they got the wrong guys, and like guys who really aren't even contributors in the NBA. I mean, the gap between Brown and Tatum and Fultz and Simmons, it's unbelievable.
That's ridiculous.
And those kinds of mistakes can set your franchise back 5 and 10 years and set up another one to be good for 5, 10, even more. It's crazy, man.
It's ridiculous. And the Sixers is the one that just really makes me mad. Well, obviously, yeah. I'm a Sixers fan, but it's like, and the thing is, too, is they had this plan, the process, and they quit in the middle of it because they made two bad, horrible picks. And the fans, I know people say the fans don't change anybody's minds. I guarantee you the fans in Philly changed their mind because they were all in on this, process. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they quit in the middle of it, and now they have a half process team with a guy who gets injured all the time, and they suck. So
these two guys are so good, Brown and Tatum. They've helped make up for mistakes. Like Kyrie Irving was a mistake, but then they made an aggressive move when it counted the most, when Jrue Holiday was available. Then they bring in Holiday. He turns out to be a bit of a Kyrie stopper.
Yeah.
And if that's your number three guy, I was just looking at, we're talking about the contracts and keeping them together. They're going to, sign Tatum up for an extension. Going into next year, I mean, they have four guys who make good money. In Holiday at $30 million, Porzingis a little under $30 million. These numbers don't matter. I don't, go over the cap.
Sure.
Brown, like $50 million, and Jason Tatum will get bumped. And that's the core, and they'll have them together for at least a couple more years, which makes them one of the favorites every year, probably for at least the next 3 or 4 years, barring some catastrophic injury. The odds are out. Now, I think you have to make the Celtics the favorite, but I'm not betting them. Celtics favorite, plus 280. Nuggets next at 7-1. Thunder, 8-1. T-Wolves, plus 850. Bucks, plus 850. Mavs, 9-1. Before we get to the Mavs, those next four teams, Nuggets, Thunder, T-Wolves, Bucks. Best shot.
I'm going to go with the Bucks because they play in the East. And the other three teams are going to have to play each other, or battle it out some way or other in the West. So I'm going to go with the Bucks. It's the easiest road. Obviously the Celtics are good, but I think the Bucks will be, if not in the Eastern Conference Championship, close to it next year just by getting healthy alone. I mean, I think people forget about Giannis hurt, Dame wasn't himself, and Giannis alone is, he's a trip to the playoffs. So I think the Bucks.
I'm going to go Nuggets, but with one caveat. My worry is they have a low character guy who's a key player.
Is it? Can I guess who it is?
Yes.
Nikolai Jokic. No, I'm just kidding. Is it Eric Andre? Is that the one you're talking about? Does he look a lot like Eric Andre?
It's Jamal Murray.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about.
Jamal Murray got a little loose. Actually, he actually showed his true personality from what I hear of, people who cover the Nuggets.
Yeah.
He can be a jackass. And self-serving jackasses can cost you championships. Now, he's a better player than J.R. Smith, but J.R. Smith cost LeBron. He had an allegiance to him, and he cost him. And I don't think Jamal Murray's a stand-up guy in certain situations, and I thought he acted like a fool. He was very lucky to not get a real suspension when he acted like a sore loser. Not the most durable either. And I think that's a lot of how you break down who's going to win next year is durability. Now, the worry with the Celtics is they are going to be a little top heavy, and, you know, is Goliath going to be motivated to kick ass the year after you get all this adulation? I don't know.
I just, well, the Nuggets to me, though, after watching what the Timberwolves did to them, are they going to be better next year? The Timberwolves are only going to get better, right?
I think they're going to improve their bench.
Yeah.
I also, of all the guys, and I don't like calling him Michael, but Michael Malone, of all these top teams, I think he's the best coach, that is an advantage. I mean, the Thunder and the Wolves are intriguing because they have a core and it's a young core. And
that's
you
what
expect,
I mean.
Hey, they're going to get better. They're going to get better at closing games. I mean, I think there's some maturity issues at times on the Wolves.
Yeah.
And then from outside, that top six, NBA title next year. Sixers 12-1, Knicks 14, Warriors 18, Clippers 18-1, Lakers 20, and Suns 22-1. I don't know that the Suns can do anything with their nucleus, which if those guys actually all played and were ready for the playoffs, they could be dangerous, but they got to do some retooling. They got to get a point guard, like a real point guard.
Yeah, absolutely.
All these teams need to improve to catch the Celtics.
Yeah. I think the Lakers and Warriors have the best chance of improving, though, over the Suns. Like, if you get those three teams,
yeah.
I think the Lakers can get a third guy. The Warriors could, you know, pair Curry with somebody. Who knows? Giannis might go. No,
would you drop the Warriors if they brought – because here's the – apparently the story with – people are thinking with Klay Thompson. He's looked around. He's seen other guys get their final contract.
Right.
Like Draymond, who's certainly – there's some,
yeah.
some bad check marks on the resume.
Right.
He got a four-year extension. I'm trying to think who – someone else – Wiggins got 4 years. Klay Thompson at 35, if he's like, I want 4 years, and I want about what I'm making now. Like, I made 40-plus. I want $35 mil a year.
No chance.
I would actually downgrade the Warriors if they re-sign him.
Yeah, there's no chance.
I don't think that's a winning formula. They have to – I don't even know if they have to get a Klay Thompson replacement in terms of a name. They need some new pieces, but it's also time to let some of the younger guys play, show some trust in them. But I don't know if Steve Kerr wants to do that. And the other one, I have no idea what Steph Curry wants. He never speaks. So maybe behind the scenes, he's a force. I don't know.
Yeah. They could use some size, I think. If you pair up Steph Curry with like one of these bigger guys, I think that would be better than, you know, trying to find a replacement for Klay Thompson.
Doesn't everyone in the West have to have the ability to go big?
Yeah.
Which
the Warriors don't.
They don't.
So,
like,
yeah.
Small ball, unfortunately, small ball I think works about against just about anyone, but we've got this weird 7'1", you know, fat guy who is unbelievable. And literally, if you want to play a 6'7" guy on the floor and have a stretch five, he can go on his tippy toes, not jump, because he can't jump more than a phone book, and he's still going to grab every rebound.
Well,
and by the way, the Nuggets are also big at other positions. They're big and athletic.
Yeah, they are. And
like, Gordon's underrated. I mean, he's 6'8", 6'9", but he can also jump through the freaking roof, so he can play big.
Look at the two teams that made the Nuggets look kind of silly in the last, you know, whatever, since Jokic has been there. It's been the Lakers when they had the Twin Towers and all those guys on the bench that were huge. And then the Timberwolves, who had, you know, four or five guys who were gigantic as well. So, and long and athletic.
East. Sixers or Knicks?
Man.
Knicks have to keep their core together. I don't know what else they can add except to tinker. Ananobi is probably going to sign, although there's been initial reports maybe he's troubled by the early offer. And then the Sixers' thought is Harris, who became the punching bag, is going to go bye-bye, and they're going to try to replace him with Paul George.
Here's the thing about the Sixers is none of this matters if Embiid's not healthy, and he's never healthy. So, I mean, that's the reason they're 12-1 instead of one of the top 3-4 teams, because nobody believes in Embiid. He has to stay healthy. I think a healthy Embiid with Paul George, that's great. And Maxey and, you know, the bench, you know, the younger guys stepping up. But is he going to be able to play in the playoffs? I'd take the Knicks over the Sixers in a bet only because I don't think Embiid's going to be there.
Well, I was just thinking about Dallas.
Yeah.
They're 9-1. I think that's too high.
I do too. I agree.
Why?
I don't understand. Like, Kyrie Irving's 32. There's this thing now where, like, oh, he's getting old. I mean, he should be in his prime right now. And he has these games where he scores 9 points, 12 points, 15 points. I don't know what the deal is with the guy. I don't know what happened to him. But he's just not that guy anymore. It doesn't seem like it. And if that's your second best guy, and I mean, Luka's obviously one of the best players in the league. I think he'd be the best player on the Celtics if he got traded today. But he needs help, and he doesn't really have it right now. So I don't understand the Mavs roster. I'm shocked they got as far as they did with that roster, to be honest with you. But
if I were the Mavs, I might look at Kyrie and go, you know what? We got what we could get.
Yeah.
His trade value is decent again. Let's trade high.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how you rebuild the team, but – would the Heat culture, they're 30-1, would the Heat culture be able to absorb Kyrie Irving and make it work?
I'm going to say yes. You got Pat Riley there. When Kyrie respects you, I think he'll play. And I think yes for the Heat.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
This hour is brought to you by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. 766-1400 is the number. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. Dial 775 in the north. Office is in Reno. Also, Battleborn Injury Lawyer offices in Vegas, downtown Vegas, and Henderson. Salerno, pause for a second. That was it. We took the mic out of his hands. We went to break. You were about to mention one other place because we were saying, novel thought here. The Mavs are not going to win with Kyrie and Luka together. Move Kyrie now while he's got some value. There are people who want him. LeBron was salivating him over him like 2 weeks ago.
Supposedly, the Lakers tried to trade for him last year, and it was rebuffed. They tried to trade those two, coveted first-round picks that the Lakers, for some reason, think are worth, a gajillion dollars. And it was rebuffed. And there were some other things, too, in the trade. Like, I think there was a player they didn't want that they were going to send over with them, whatever. But, yeah, so, I mean, if – let's put it this way. If you have Klay Thompson on the free agent market or you have to trade for or Kyrie Irving, you have to trade for Kyrie, who would you take if you're the Lakers?
Well, if I'm the Lakers.
Yeah.
If I'm a sports talk host, then I want Kyrie Irving.
But like if you're trying to win a championship.
I'd probably take it's tough because I also don't know that – we were talking about Klay Thompson an hour ago.
Yeah.
I think he's got to grow up a little bit, which is amazing at 35 that he's, hey, whatever. I mean, you know what? Leaving your job and feeling like you're not being appreciated, that does suck. As a fit, probably Klay Thompson.
Yeah. I mean, the last time we saw them play together, LeBron and Kyrie, obviously they were great, but they're not those same people anymore. LeBron, going to be 40 years old. I think, probably Klay Thompson. I don't know, man.
The funny thing with the Lakers, if I trusted them to actually spend their what money they have and the picks they have and get, like, three additions, but yeah. I don't think they can nail all three.
Right.
Not if Palinka is the one making the decision, and frankly, not if LeBron's making the decision. GM LeBron does not have a great track record.
No, he doesn't. I mean, I don't know which exact moves he has his fingerprints on and when he doesn't, but yeah.
None of them.
The results are
according to LeBron and Clutch. None of them. No, he's no say.
And then Hurley goes on Coward Show and says that LeBron was texting him all weekend.
Oh, my God.
I guess so. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm getting caught up in the aura of it, but just seeing LeBron and Kyrie, I think LeBron, Kyrie, and AD together, I mean, that's a hell of a core. But he has to be Kyrie, and LeBron has to be LeBron. We haven't seen either one of those guys be themselves in a while. I don't know. I mean, I guess LeBron has, but.
Halfway point of the show, Salerno's in. What excites you more? The 30th anniversary of the OJ chase or the 20th anniversary of Dodgeball coming out?
It's tough. I'm going to go with the OJ case.
Where were you when Dodgeball came out? I have no idea. Kind of a decent movie, but it wasn't an earth-shattering moment when it got to the theaters.
Super overrated, by the way, movie. It really is. I mean, there's some great movies that Ben Stiller is in. I don't think that's one of them. But, where did you live in Vegas when this happened? When the OJ thing? Because I lived in California.
I lived in New Jersey, and I was working in newspapers then, and so I paid attention to the Knicks in that market a lot.
Sure. Wow. Yeah.
So the night of the chase, I was actually in our newsroom, and I think I was just completely pissed off that. The Knicks game got delayed.
They went
to the coverage. You know what's funny? At the time, I don't think I realized, I know it sounds stupid, but how, what the hell was going on and how big this was. And what a mega saga it was going to turn into. And then another thing I missed out on moving forward after that was, I think following from 3,000 miles away is totally different than being on the ground in L.A.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally different. The significant other, the SO, is from L.A. She was there. She's told me stories where I'm like, wow, okay, I didn't realize like all the stuff that went into it and how, you know, literally close to home it was.
It was crazy. I lived in San Diego at the time, so it wasn't actually in L.A., but it was close enough to where you could feel. I mean, it was a huge, huge story. It was every local news story, obviously, for, you know, months. And then just the when the riots start happening and stuff afterwards, that happened in San Diego as well. And I saw some of that, too. And may or may not have got myself a VCR. I don't remember, but.
Oh, no.
I'll just say this.
Your felonious behavior, brother. You know what? You got to hold it. You got to hold it. You'll have to say this when the Sam Panayotovich is on.
Live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. Sports gambling insider Sammy P joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Greg Salerno's here. It's Cofield. Griffin steering the ship. Sam Panayotovich, Fox Sports, is up with us. Sammy, what's going on, buddy?
Hungover, pal. Hungover.
From what?
Celtics.
What does that even mean?
It means he was partying
Celtics
last
won
night,
the
celebrating
NBA championship.
But you
last
weren't.
Night.
But you weren't celebrating. You're not from Boston.
I go where the party's at.
There you go. You know what though? I couldn't stomach it. But I don't think the Chicago Boston thing is like everyone else in the Northeast and Boston in terms of rivalry. I think you got. I think you're probably fine just going and, you know, latching on for the party. I couldn't do it.
I could have cared less if they won the championship, but if they're going to win a championship, I'm going to be there in some way, shape, or form. They barricaded all the streets off wow. around the garden last night for about a mile radius around, so it was just chaos. And I think capacity at the garden is 20,000, 19,000 maybe. There were 60,000 people in the streets after the game.
Wow.
Boston fans, I'm not from here. They are lunatics, absolute lunatics, and they like to drink.
Yeah. Oh, I hate them, but I respect them. They're crazy, and you're right. They like to drink. So where do you post up? Are you on the streets? Are you finding a bar? What do you do?
I got a couple spots. I used to live over there before I moved to one of the burbs.
Okay.
I lived right on Causeway Street, which is where the garden is, and there's a handful of bars in that area. And when I lived over there, I would go there all the time. So I wouldn't call myself a regular. But I know some of the boys there. Bartenders like me. I tip well.
Were you able to roll out of bed and start betting on soccer?
I did. I had a soccer bet today that I was at a point where I thought about taking the TV off the wall and throwing it out the window.
What?
Because I know, a little dramatic, but... I had – so there's a backstory here. I had Belgium yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And I also have Lukaku golden boot. So I need Belgium to do well. Lukaku scored twice yesterday, and both of the goals were disallowed. Mm-hmm. One of them was offsides, which we can get into in a second. I have no idea what offsides is, in soccer at least. And – the second goal, I think, was a handball yesterday. So that happened yesterday. Two goals that were taken away from me. Today, I've got Portugal. They tie the game up second half to make it 1-1, and then they go to the monitor, and a sliver of Ronaldo's shoulder is in the zone, and they call it offsides. So they take that goal away. So in 24 hours, Steve, I've had three goals taken out of my hands. They finally tie it 1-1, and as the second goal goes in, they go, we may have to check this one too, and I was ready to lose it.
Replay, the bane of everyone's existence, even in soccer, or especially in soccer, where no one scores goals, so they take one off the board. It's freaking devastating. Are you betting money that you won at the U.S. Open?
We had DeChambeau 20-1.
Oh, nice.
Got a little lucky. Rory also sucked, which was fun.
Unreal.
I mean, come on, dude. How do you miss a four-footer? Now, Bryson, unfortunately, is getting way too sexy to win the final major, so that's a guy that I won't bet. I also saw this stat, and maybe you guys talked about it yesterday or today. DeChambeau only hit five fairways on Sunday. That's not usually a guy that would win a major. I mean, he was all over the place. But that shot out of the sand on 18, holy cow, what a shot.
Did I saw you, I think someone posted, oh no, was it ESPN Bet or ESPN who posted a picture of, you know, sad Rory in whatever the hell it is, the room where, you know, he signed the card and everything, and they make a remark about parlays or something?
Yeah, not to knock your cousin company ESPN Bet, but when you make a meme about watching a parlay go up in flames, yet at the same time when I turn on ESPN right now to watch the fifth game of the Stanley Cup Final, and you're pushing parlays in my face and all over social media, and when you log into the app, here, we're going to build you this parlay. So it's sort of like they're dancing on your grave in terms of, yeah, your parlays all lose, but hey, we're going to make fun of you now. And yeah, that tweet got a lot of run because it's like all they do is push parlays because, as we know, the hold percentage on parlays is crazy. I remember last November or December in Illinois, 44% of their handle was parlays. 44%. So clearly parlays kill. Parlays don't win over time. Everybody knows that. But for a sports book to kind of say, hey, we know the feeling, losing parlays sucks. Well, yeah, maybe don't push them to your customers. But that's a fight I'm never going to win because it's always going to happen.
Well, you know, it's interesting. It just hit me. Circa and Superbook have pretty active Twitter accounts. They're not really in the game of telling funnies with their accounts, which is kind of interesting that FanDuel and DraftKings and now ESPN Bet do that. They kind of treat their site as like an overall sports site. I wonder why. Maybe it's because of your advice. Maybe they're actually respecting the players locally. I don't know.
I think people at Circa and the Superbook care more about their numbers than about the entertainment value of Twitter.
Jokey. Yes.
How many times do you look at like the DraftKings or FanDuel Twitter and you got a girl who's 23, 24 years old? I don't care that that's fine, but like clearly like this person hasn't been betting a long time. Like just because she's only 23 or 24. And if you can't gamble until you're 21,
yes,
she has maybe 3 years of experience, and she's telling me what the parlay? Give me a break.
Maybe Belichick gave her some money and told her to go out and make some bets.
Hey, Belichick hit the under on that one. How old is she, 25?
I think 24.
24, yeah. We know he has game.
Well, he's got money.
I mean, that's game, right? I just heard the whisper in the background. That's part of the game. What is Bet Bash?
Bet Bash is a yearly event held at the Circa, run by Spanky, a professional bettor. It's basically a huge networking event that has become sort of a staple of the August experience that I'm out in August every year, basically. You and I hang out.
Let's do it.
And, it's August 6 to 10 at the Circa. I believe tickets available, betbash.co. And I'm doing a live sit-down interview with the legendary Roxy Roxborough. Oh.
When is that?
That'll be August 7th, I believe, which is a Wednesday.
We're talking live in front of a crowd, not video up online. Like, you're going to be in front of a crowd.
Yeah, they basically picked four or five sports betting podcasts and said, we want all of you to do a live episode. And Roxy and I were going to do an episode last year, but then he went to the pool party instead and we couldn't make it work. So I said, well, we'll do it next year, 24. And Spanky said, hey man, I want you to do a podcast. So I just kind of rolled it over, and I've been trying to get a hold of Roxy. You know, he's out in like Thailand right now or something. So he's like Carmen San Diego. You never know where he's at. But sure. I mean, that guy is one of the most respected odds makers of all time. And, be able to have a chance to talk to him, and I'm probably going to do a little Q&A at the end for anybody that wants to ask a question. But, yeah, I'm honored to be able to do that.
Kenny Yadovich is with us from Fox Sports. You wrote a Fox Sports story about a potential Dodgers-Yankees World Series and the reaction of the books, which I assume that would have a good handle.
And then Mookie Betts got hurt about 2 days later, which was very timely. But he'll, I imagine he's going to eventually – we think he comes back, right?
Yes.
I think he comes back. That lineup is so damn scary. And if they get all those pitchers healthy and clicking, that team is so freaking deep. And you just look at the price. I mean, to make the World Series, Circa's got him at plus 175. That alone tells you the respect that they have. I mean, obviously, they're perennial contenders. But at June, mid-June, to be short of 2-1 to make the World Series is respect. That's like what Tiger used to be priced at to win a major in his prime. So that's like a comparable number. And the Yankees are just, you know, they're just destroying teams right now. And the crazy thing about New York is that Gerrit Cole hasn't thrown a single pitch yet. So at the deadline, when all these teams are going to be looking to add an arm or add a big bat, they're going to just pull a Cy Young guy right off the bench and throw him into action. So, yeah, I mean, basically, there's like a 10 or 11% chance that the Yankees and Dodgers would meet. Not really a fair shake. Now it's like an 8-1 parlay. I don't know that I would ever parlay that either. But, I mean, we haven't seen that series since 81. And it's actually the most common World Series. It's happened 11 times. But this might be that year. And I know baseball would love to get those superstars back in the World Series. I mean, the Diamondbacks was a fun story. But,
exactly.
It wasn't really a great. Did you watch the Rangers and Diamondbacks every night? I didn't.
No. No. I actually, when someone mentioned the Rangers in the World Series before this season, I was like, oh, that's right. I had completely forgotten. So I need a little sizzle. Sorry, need a little sizzle. Last thing, we talked about Betts going down. Well, he was up there as one of the lead for NL MVP. We reset the numbers here a little bit with Ohtani followed by Harper, Tatis, Freddie Freeman. Marcell Ozuna is actually kind of intriguing, but that price is not great.
Where's Paul Skenes at?
Wow, has he come in gangbusters, huh?
No, I'm kidding. Rookie of the Year, though, that's his award now. I mean, as long as he stays healthy, that's his award. Yeah. As for the MVP, I would pop Bryce Harper at like 4-1, 4.25. And I have so much money, Steve, on the Houston Astros tonight, it makes me uncomfortable.
Wait, what?
They're playing the White Sox, which is always fun to bet against the White Sox. Yeah. No, listen. Yeah, yeah. The White Sox are 0-10. Following an off day. 0-10.
How is that possible?
Because they just suck. And they're like, their manager is an idiot. They're never prepared. He never knows what to do. He doesn't bat the right guys against lefties and righties. They're going to lose tonight. I laid 175. I don't love that. But the White Sox are going to lose tonight.
That date you mentioned was what, August 6th?
I'll be there August 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we can hang out in studio on August 6th if you want.
We can, and then I think I have to take a day off to meet up with you because you are more of when you're on vacation, I don't blame you, you're more of a day drinker, and I don't get out until like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and by then your crew is all wiped out.
That's
so I plan on doing that.
All, I mean, last time I had to leave early, but to your point, I had started at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
So by the time you rolled in with your little sexy plaid shirt on, I was cooked.
Well, day drinking in Vegas is not easy, man. That's something you got to prepare.
Yes.
Oh, dude, it's like 97 degrees, and I've had 8 Jack and Diets. I'm ready to pass out. Yeah, it's horrible.
Well, I appreciate the compliment of the sexy shirt because I probably did have a sexy shirt on. Sam, we're up against it. We'll talk to you, buddy, okay?
See you, boys.
See ya.
Plaid? I wonder what day it was. I usually do.
Does he mean like a flannel or something?
I might have like a plaid. It might have been a flannel. Yeah, it was. I think it was because I think it was winter. I'm as a big fella now. I've gotten more. I'm really building up my collection of big fella Hawaiian and tropical themed shirts. So that's usually now. I hold off until Thursday and Friday because I'm outside and end of the week. So he'll probably see me in that when he's here in August.